Does your child have imaginary friends? Are you concerned about it? Today, my guest tells how she was able to use imaginary friends, which was suggested by a doctor, to be able to help her child get over an illness. So join in for this light-hearted, fun, wonderful conversation. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands. And that is the language of play. Welcome back. It is March, so every episode this month is a guest. So today you're going to hear from Deborah Greenhut. But before we begin, I want to remind you that I love reviews. And so if you are getting any benefit from this podcast, I will ask you to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. The way you do that is to scroll down to the reviews section, and then there's little teeny purple writing that says leave a review. Thank you again. Also, if you would like to join the newsletter of The Language of Play or get 21 days of encouragement in your inbox, scroll down in the show notes and you can click to do that. All right, let's begin today's episode. Deborah, thank you for coming to The Language of Play today. I'm so excited to have you on this podcast episode. Can you tell me a little bit about you and your role?
Sure. I actually have quite a bit of experience that might be relevant. I've been a literacy educator for a number of years. So I taught teachers how to teach people to read. And I also did remedial teaching. So that's one area. But I'm a mom too, and a grandma now. So I'm relearning everything that I tried to learn as a mom. And I'm finding it's kind of fun because I don't have to do it all the time and I'm not as worn out from it. Although grandchildren take up a lot of space, which is great. And as someone said to me, they go home. So
I so appreciate this because I'm a grandma now too. And there's something to be said for when you can sleep all night, every night, you can enjoy those kids so much more.
That's true. I think it's the time when we really rediscover play though. So I was thinking when you asked me about a story that I had, my son, when he was younger, and I think a lot of parents will relate to this, had numerous ear infections. Mm-hmm. And we just kept going and going and going. And finally, one time he just gave up saying anything about it. I don't know how he withstood it, but he was about 6 or 7 years old. And we took him to the doctor because he wasn't behaving right. And the doctor said, well, he has not only a strep throat, but he also has scarlet fever.
And oh my goodness.
This was quite a number of years, like 60 some odd years ago. So I just didn't know. I mean, my flash to all the terrible stories I'd heard about it. And I started to cry. What can we do? And he said, don't worry, we have antibiotics now and this can be taken care of. But I want to talk to Adam about his immunities. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Our pediatrician was very advanced in terms of working with kids. And he said, So he said to my son, I want you to draw a picture of the strength that you have that could help you to battle these diseases. to battle these conditions that you're having. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact language. And my son went home and he drew this creature called the scarlet germ.
Huh?
I just thought at the time, what a wonderful way to get your life back as a child, to possess that and take it over so that it was now yours. It didn't belong out there to some vague disease somewhere. It was a character that you could interact with. And he did. He wrote stories about it. And he often would speak to us about what the germ was doing now. So created an imaginary friend in a way, but it was a friend with a purpose that we could see. Some imaginary friends I never got acquainted with, but I know. But this one served us for many years after that. And every once in a while, we still mention it. But I just love the scarlet germ and how it made that repeat cycle through the pediatrician's office a lot more fun for all of us, because the doctor would ask him, how's the germ? How's the scarlet? They would converse about it. So it helped him to open up about what was happening to him. And it helped us have a much calmer way to face these repeated situations with the ear infection. So I recommend it. I think, you know, create your armor, create your character that's going to help you through life. We all could use one. I owe a lot to that pediatrician who often came up with a creative idea for coping with situations, because our son, I think he was born to be an attorney because he was born arguing. So we often had to solve some communication problems in our house. And I really owe a lot to the pediatrician for coming up with some great ideas that were so helpful for rerouting and redirecting our energies into something positive and creative instead of being angry or frustrated with a child, which is never really where you want to go. So
that's fantastic. Sounds like your pediatrician had a little bit more time than pediatricians are allowed to have now.
I'm sure. And he didn't have a computer in front of his face either. So that made a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things do make a big difference. Oh my gosh, is that ever powerful? So parents, what I'm hearing is that when there's this bad thing, the doctor, in his wisdom, told the little guy, your son, Deborah, to draw a picture of it. And then when he could look at it, he could interact with it himself. And that gave him power. That gave him determination and diligence. And I would imagine that that had a tremendous healing ability as well. And then I love, love, love how you said that that gave you two common language. And you could talk about it and how you could become curious about it. It sounds like it became play.
Yes, it was a great way to interact over it. We could laugh about the scarlet germ, so it wasn't all a bad thing. And I guess it was helpful that he knew he would get better, that there was medication for it. But he didn't like his medicine too much either. So having the scarlet germ as an intermediary sometimes was tremendously helpful as well.
When you say an intermediary, does that mean that you were giving the medicine to scarlet germ, not him, even though he was taking it?
He would make up a story and say that the germ was telling him to take it.
Ah.
So I don't know how the logic of all this worked, but I know that it worked. So it was a very playful experience after that. And he was at the point where he could have outgrown. I think he was outgrowing some of the ear infections. So it was toward the tail end of that. And I wish we had had it sooner, because I think it would have made a lot of life more fun for all of us.
Yeah, I can see that. And I really enjoy how you talk about the drawing, because what you're explaining to me makes total sense when I think about the child's brain and how the brain develops. This is exactly what it is that our kiddos are in. They're in this imaginary zone and the emotional brain is running the show. So if we can use imagination and this emotional brain and tie them together the way you just so beautifully explained, there is a perfect example of the child brain at work.
Absolutely. For me, it's an indication of health literacy and emotional literacy to be able to put that outside of you and say, I'm going to be in control of this. And I understand what's going on in my body. So it takes so long sometimes for a child to get a hold of all of that, because it's such an invasion when you get sick, you don't understand it. But this gave it all sorts of flesh and bones and color that made it so helpful for him.
What a beautiful story.
Thank you.
I'm sure that a lot of our listeners don't realize how many fabulous stories they actually have and how many times that you have done fabulous things with your children and you didn't realize how absolutely fabulous it was. So good job, Deborah, being an awesome mom and grandma and teaching your kids to be awesome parents in the same way.
It was a pleasure to talk about it again. I haven't had an opportunity to think about the germ for a long time, but he was one of our favorite characters.
I love it. Did you have other characters?
Oh, let's see. My younger son had about 8 imaginary friends, and I don't know if I can name them all, but some of them were named after movie stars, and some of them had onomatopoeia kinds of names. But when he would go to bed at night, we had to put them all into bed with him and say goodnight specifically in a way to each one. And I can't say I remember it all now, but I remember there was a ritual there, and it seemed to give him a lot of comfort to have those creatures. And he knew they were imaginary. He wasn't kidding about it, but he wanted me to acknowledge them every night, which I think was a way of acknowledging him as well.
Absolutely. Because in his mind, it's very much part of his day. And kids will often create imaginary friends when they just want friends to be with them. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a stuffed animal, but these were kind of ghostly figures. We didn't really see them, but they did things, though. Sometimes they were responsible for things that happened.
Who broke that vase? Well, it was Charlie, you know. Yes. Oh, that is good. Thank you for sharing today your fun story that'll lighten up everybody's day.
That's great. Thank you so much for having me, Dimlin.
Hey, parents. I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review, and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.